Good morning.
Good morning.
An excellent class this morning, looking at looking at the creation of man. We started that last week. We looked at what it means to be in the image of God, and today we finished that out, and that was really good. Today, this morning, we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit that we find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We talked about love last week, and today we talk about joy. Today we talk about joy. How to walk in the spirit of joy is the title of this lesson. Let's say an old friend from former days, maybe high school or some time in that period, some old friend or acquaintance approaches you, and this person, he is in dire straits. You haven't seen this person in a while, but you do have fond memories with this individual. And you happen to be in a position to help out at that particular moment, but you're kind of on a tight budget. You can help at that moment, but it's not something that you can give for too long. You will need that money back at some point. You tell your friend that, and he tells you that he'll be able to pay you back before you need that money, before those bills are due or whatever comes up. Some time passes by, and you never hear from him. Then you remember what he was like in school. Never repaying others for things that he borrowed. And you realize that you've been had. He hasn't changed a bit. Well, sin is kind of like that, isn't it? Sin is like that. It promises joy. It promises happiness. It makes such grand promises. But at the end, it only brings sadness. So where can we find joy? You know, people try to find joy in all manner of places. We talked about at the beginning of the month, July 4th, that we have an American right to pursue happiness, to pursue joy. The trouble is that so many things promise joy and happiness. So many things in this world promise that joy and happiness, but can never deliver. Just like that old friend in this earlier illustration. Cigarettes, for example. Man, you see ads for cigarettes, don't you? And it's always beautiful people living it up. They're smiling, they're laughing, they're having such a great time. And then you might try it, you might get hooked. What's the end result? What's the end result of that? Was it joy? Was it happiness? Or was it hospital bills and perhaps an early grave? I know that's rough. I know it's difficult to consider that sometimes, but where is the lie? Where is the lie in that? Many of you might know of that firsthand. The works of the flesh are no different. The works of the flesh are no different. In fact, joy is promised in all the works of the flesh. Every one of them. You look at that and you think it's promised me to be joyful, but like our bad debtor, it never pays up. It never pays up. And yet we keep falling for it. We keep falling for it. Today, we will consider two points: where we can't find joy and where we can find joy. Here's where we can't find joy. Of course, the works of the flesh, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, looking at those in verses 19 through 22. Man, those works of the flesh that are presented there in that passage. Recall all of them. Is there joy, the first couple that are mentioned there, is there joy in adultery or fornication, uncleanness, lewdness? Is there joy in those things? Oh, sure, it's glamorized on TV, it's glamorized in movies, and there are even websites dedicated to that sort of thing. One such website advertises with a slogan, don't look it up, advertises with the slogan, "Life is short, have an affair." That's an actual slogan to a website, implying that you are missing out if you don't commit adultery. What? My word. I found an article somewhere about this website, and that in 2019 it had 60 million users. 60 million users. You know, other websites that are dedicated to fornication and other sexual forms, immorality of a sexual nature. And of course, they're too numerous to mention here. How terrible is that? They promise joy. They promise, life is short. Have this relationship, that this illicit relationship. Man, how terrible is that? They promise so much joy, but all you get in the long run is sorrow and pain. Lord Byron, a noted romantic author and poet, Hugh Hefner of his day, a hedonist, once wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." You reckon he was the joyful sort? You think he was the joyful sort? Did he find happiness in all the hedonism and all the pleasure that he sought? No. And that's true with all the other works of the flesh as well. How can you be joyful if you have another one on this list, hatred? How can you be joyful if you have hatred in your heart for someone else? How can you be joyful in that case? The hate poisons you and brings you down. That's the same for all the other things that are listed here. The contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, envy, murder. How can you be joyful and engage in these things? Another quote that's been attributed to many people over time. Resentment is like swallowing poison and expecting the other person to die. That's what this is. Swallowing poison yourself. Such resentment, such hatred hurts you more than it hurts other people. It kills your joy. It kills your joy. That's not joyful. It's not happy to do such things. What about selfish ambitions, as mentioned on here? Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. We see another quote from Alexander the Great. He's weeping in his tent after his last battle, and he says, "There are no more worlds to conquer." What else is he going to do? Millionaire and robber baron of the Gilded Age, Jay Gould, also said on his deathbed, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." He was a millionaire. He had so much money. We might consider the billionaires of today. So much money. Did that bring them happiness? You know, I don't begrudge them this, but in the news, many of them are going out into space these days. Are they going to find happiness up there? I mean, it might be fun for a moment, but for a moment. Especially one, Bezos, he got divorced recently. Is he going to find happiness up there, away from his wife? It might bring him joy for a moment. Benjamin Disraeli, a British writer and politician, two-time Prime Minister of England, he writes, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." He had such a high position in the English government, and yet he still was miserable. Do you think he was happy making quotes like that? They achieved wealth, fame, power. And where did it get them? Where does it get them? A miserable life devoid of happiness and joy. They couldn't find joy in any of these things. Can we find it in idolatry and unbelief? We find on here two other things, idolatry and sorcery. This idea that we can be happy and do our own thing and avoid God and unbelief and doing whatever we want. Can we find happiness there? Again, such actions are glorified everywhere. They think, oh, no religious convictions, no guilt. I can do whatever I want. That's what they say. Except life doesn't work that way, does it? Life doesn't work that way. Renaissance writer and philosopher and noted skeptic Voltaire wrote, "I wish I had never been born. I wish I had never been born." Does this sound like a joyful man? Does this sound like someone who was joyful in his life? You know, Job said something similar, didn't he? Job said something similar after he had lost everything in Job chapter 3. He said something similar. But, you know, after, you know, his faithfulness to God, after he realized what he had lost and what he had gained again because of his faithfulness to God, he recanted, right? He said he's happy. He was happy in his life toward the end. And by Job chapter 42, we find that's the case. While we might have sorrow in this world, even to the point of deep despair, wishing we'd never been born, where can true happiness be found? Can we come back from that? Oh yes, most definitely. We can't find happiness or joy in any of these works of the flesh. We just can't. But there is one way that we can truly find it. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition. And when infinite joy is offered to us, we are like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a trip to the beach. We are far too easily pleased." And there, Lewis mentions three sins among the works of the flesh. Drink, drunkenness is mentioned, sex, and ambition. Let's get ready for that trip to the beach, leaving our mud pies behind. Where can we find joy? Where can we find joy? I have four ways in which we can find joy. Four ways, and they all start with an F. Four ways where we can find joy. Finding Jesus. Faithful brethren, frightful times, and faithful word. Looking through the scripture, finding this word for joy and trying to find every situation in which joy can be found. These are the four I came up with. Now, granted, there are other ways in which we can find joy that are mentioned in scripture, but these are the main categories that I see here. Finding Jesus is the first one. The first time we see this word for joy, this Greek word for joy in the New Testament, is in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10. Do you remember the context of Matthew chapter 2? Jesus had just been born. And the Magi, the wise men, are wanting to find Jesus. They arrive in Jerusalem and they go to Herod and they say, "We're here to see the new king that's born." "Wow, what are you talking about? There's no new king here." Then the scholars, the scribes, they give a quotation from Micah chapter 5, and they say he'll be born in Bethlehem. So the wise men go off, and then they see the star again. They say, "Hey, here's the star." And what the passage says in verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." They were on their way to see Jesus. How amazing is that? First time we see the word joy in the New Testament. In a similar context, in Luke chapter 2, again, the context of Luke chapter 2, the birth of Jesus. The shepherds are serving their, they're tending their sheep in the field, and the angels come to see them. And what do the angels say? "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Man, the coming of Jesus brings joy. Brings joy. We find in Matthew chapter 13 two instances of the parables that we're talking about on Sunday evening. Two instances where this word joy is found. And the first one is in the parable of the sower. We're familiar with the parable of the sower. There are four types of soil that are found, and the seed lands on each of those different kinds. And one of them, the stony soil, one of the kinds that we don't want to be, but there's still a good element there. The stony soil, they says he receives it with joy. This person is happy they have found Jesus. Now, they don't have enough root for it to take hold, but initial reaction there is a wonderful thing. The joy of finding Jesus. And then a little bit later on, we know it's a good thing because in verse 44, we find the parable of the hidden treasure. And he says, he who hears the word and immediately he receives it with joy. We see that he finds the treasure and he buries it in the field again and purchases the field so that he can own that treasure legitimately for joy. Because of the joy of finding that treasure, the kingdom of God. Man, finding Jesus. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 8, it simply says, and there was great joy in that city. What's the context of Acts chapter 8? Philip had just gone to Samaria and preached the gospel there. For the first time, the gospel, well, since the resurrection. But for the first time, the gospel had been preached there. And there was such great joy in that city. We find it again in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. The Gentiles, Gentile disciples on Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, the gospel had been preached to them. And it says in verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Filled with joy. They were happy to have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be Christians. To have heard it and to have obeyed it, to find Jesus. Not just that, but joy over hearing about others being saved. We find in Luke chapter 15, we'll get to those in our parables on Sunday evening. Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost things, parables of the lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. We find in verses 7 and 10 the same idea repeated, the fact that the angels in heaven rejoices when a sinner comes to repentance. They have found Jesus. If heaven is joyful about such a thing, shouldn't we? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then we see another instance of this happening in Acts chapter 15. In verse 3, the scripture reads, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, talking about Paul and Barnabas, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. Great joy hearing about how the Gentiles had received the gospel, knowing about the rift between Jews and Gentiles back then. This was a great thing to hear about, an encouraging thing to see. So we find finding Jesus, not just for ourselves, but for others, is a cause for great joy. That's where we can find joy. It's not the only place. We can also find it with our faithful brethren. And I'm so thankful that we're going to have our fellowship meal in a little while so we can enjoy in our faithful brethren. There are so many passages that talk about joy. The joy that we ought to have with faithful brethren, with these brethren. You know, there's so many, I can't put them all in a single sermon. Just so many. But one I want to look at, there's a couple I want to look at. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is the first one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, looking at verses 17 through 20. And it reads, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Yeah, I've missed Sam and Sarah over the past week or so, week and a half, and I'm glad to see them back. I've missed, especially during the time when we weren't conducting in-person services, I missed all of you so much. And those who aren't here today, who might be watching online, I miss you too. And I look forward to seeing all of us again, worshiping together. It will cause me such great joy. That's one of the reasons why we ought to gather together, isn't it? That's one of the reasons to be here, is to not only bring joy to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are here, but to bring ourselves joy. It's encouraging to see so many people here. That's why it's encouraging, and I encourage all those to come at the other times that we meet, because that's encouraging too. Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights, such an encouraging thing. That brings me joy. And that brings other people joy as well. That brings the brethren joy, the body of Christ coming together, meeting together, and taking joy in one another. I encourage you to do that for those who don't normally make that. We find also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, another Paul repeating this sentiment. He's joyful to hear of the faithfulness in Timothy. We find in this passage, he says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." Why? "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you." The genuine faith that is in you. Such great faith. Causing joy to the Apostle Paul. And such great faith that we see in each one of us should bring us joy, shouldn't it? And it does. Whenever there is an event and I see the people of the church working hard to make sure that that is a success, to make sure that works, man, that brings me joy. Because I get to see the faithfulness of my brothers and sisters in Christ so that we might be able to spread the gospel here and abroad. We find John repeats this sentiment in 2 John verse 12. 2 John verse 12. John wants to come to speak to them face to face, to the people there that he's writing to, so that our joy may be full. John also says this in 3 John verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." My children walk in truth. Man, doesn't that give us joy too? Especially when we hear of younger people obeying the gospel and doing what's right and following after him, that brings us joy, doesn't it? I hope it brings you joy. Here's one that is a bit counterintuitive, though. We talked about finding Jesus, finding joy. There's joy in finding Jesus. There's joy in faithful brethren. And there's joy in frightful times. That's a little counterintuitive, isn't it? That doesn't quite make sense. But let's consider what the scripture has to say about that. We, in such times, we expect sadness perhaps to overtake us, even in the tough times. But even in those times, we ought to find joy. In fact, Christians, As Christians, we are the only people on earth, we are the only people on earth who are suffering has an eternal purpose. Have you considered that? The suffering that we experience here on this earth has a purpose. Has a purpose. Of course, it does for the potential Christian as well, but only if they become a Christian, only if they obey that gospel and realize where true joy lies. We find in James chapter 1, this is an oft-quoted passage, but I love it so much. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, the trials that we experience, we ought to count it joy. We ought to count it joy because that testing of our faith, it produces patience. It produces hope. It leads us to salvation. Suffering leads to salvation. Not that we necessarily have to suffer in order to be saved, but boy, let me tell you, if we lived a completely fine life on a bed of pillows, what suffering, what struggle is there? Oh man, this is fine, this is great. What growth is there going to be? What struggle, what hope is there for a better life after this? Well, there isn't one. We have it all here in that case. And certainly it feels that way sometimes in our country, being one of the richest countries in the world. But even so, we have struggles, we have trials, and those trials bring us closer to our Lord. And here's another way in which we can look at this. Paul talks of joy. He talks of joy amid affliction, amid poverty. You find this in several passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." With joy, having received it in much affliction. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, "I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation." 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, "In that a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." Man, the affliction. The great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy. There's joy amid that affliction, amid the struggles and the trials that we face. We ought to take joy in those things. Man, that doesn't feel right, does it? That doesn't seem right. But if we recognize the other side. Sometime last year, we talked about that light at the end of the tunnel. That light at the end of the tunnel, looking at Isaiah chapter 2. And that light at the end of the tunnel is something that we can see clearly through the eyes of faith. Through the eyes of faith, we can see the end, and that is our home in heaven, our home with our Lord and Savior. And so if we can see that, doesn't that mean we can get through our trials and tribulations here, our afflictions? 2 Corinthians also talks about our light affliction is but for a moment. Man, Paul, you don't know what I'm going through. What are you talking about? Paul went through in perils of countrymen, in perils of so many things that we see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So many things he went through that many of us would fall apart at. We would look at all that and be like, man, Paul, how do you make it through? Because he sees that light at the end of that tunnel. He sees the outcome. He knows where that end is. And in fact, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus, when we went through Mark, he could see what that end was, right? That he was going to be sitting at the right hand of the power. We find that in Mark chapter 14. He could see that. And so for joy, he went to the cross, the most painful death that man had devised up to that point. And yet he endured it for joy, with joy. What? And you know what? Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his." That doesn't mean we should all be crucified, thankfully. But it does mean that if we suffer through afflictions, we ought to take it like he took it, with joy. No gall in his mouth, as it says later in 1 Peter. So we find joy in finding Jesus. We find joy in our faithful brethren. We find joy in frightful times. And we find joy in the faithful word. The faithful word. Jesus, his words were spoken so that our joy may be full. Let's look at John chapter 15. These words are dripping with love, it says. Let's look at John 15, starting in verse 9. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Here we go. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." I say these things so that you might be joyful, that you might have joy. The things that he just said, talking about the love that we ought to have for one another, abiding in his love and his love abiding in us. Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends." Man, we know we talked about love last week, but all these are connected. Without love, are we going to have joy? Love brings joy. And if we love our brethren, if we love the Lord, we're going to be ecstatic to find Jesus. If we love our brethren, we're going to be joyful around them. If we love the Lord again, we're going to enjoy the frightful times. We'll have to take joy in affliction. And if we love the Lord, we'll love reading his word and reading what he says here. He writes these things that our joy may be full. John also repeats that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. "These things were written written to you, that your joy may be full." We can't hear these words straight from Jesus' mouth, but they were written 2,000 years ago so that we may read it and take joy in it. And take joy in it. "And though we do not see him yet believing, we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The joy that we have, finding Jesus, salvation of our souls, it can be found in the written word of God, in the scriptures. We can take joy in the words of our Lord written down, which informs our faith that we can be saved. We can take joy in finding Jesus. We can take joy in faithful brethren. We can take joy in frightful times, and we can take joy in the faithful word written down for us. While some consider joy to be an elusive thing, true joy is actually not that hard to find, is it? It is found in the words of Jesus, in the words of Scripture, and among our brethren, isn't it? It is found when trials come. And we have no shortage of those here on this earth, do we? is not found in the works of the flesh, promises so much but gives so little. These passing pleasures of sin might give some semblance of joy for a moment, but it's not lasting. Kind of like spending, how long was it, 10 minutes up in space? Kind of like that. But it doesn't last. Not like the joy that's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're like those children playing with the mud pies, turning down a trip to the beach. If you like the beach, some people don't. But as a third century man was anticipating death, he wrote these last words to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them. Wouldn't you like to be one of those who have found that true joy? That true joy that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to be one of those? We have a chance now for you to obey that gospel of Jesus Christ, to follow him, to find that true joy. Finding Jesus is that great joy, and I encourage you to make that choice here this morning. You know, we do have food back here, and I'm a little over on time, but that's okay. You know what? This is more important. This is more important. If you want to make things right with God today, man, do so. Our stomachs can wait a few minutes. If you want to do that, believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's what we have to do to be saved. Repent of our sins. Turn away from those works of the flesh. Confess his name and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you need to do that this morning, I encourage you to do that. It's such a great thing to do. Please. Obey the gospel today so you can enjoy our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have that lasting and true joy found in him. Please do that this morning. If you are lacking in that joy and you want to retrieve it, you want to get it back, I encourage you to make things right with him. If you need our help to do that, please come forward. Let us know about that as we stand and as we sing.